Well, I want to thank you all again for joining us here for our church service. This is obviously a very challenging time and a really unique time in all of our lives, and it can be difficult for us to understand what our calling is at this time. What are we as Christians supposed to do in this kind of moment of forced isolation? I want to suggest to you that Scripture actually has a lot to say to us about entering into a kind of forced isolation and what we can do about it. And specifically, I want to talk about our Old Testament passage today from 1 Kings, which tells us the story of Elijah. And what I want to suggest to you is that Elijah gives us a kind of model for what we are to do when we're forced into isolation, how we can turn that isolation into solitude, and in so doing, how we can hear God's still and quiet voice. So what I want to do is walk through each phase of Elijah's journey in this passage, and it, along the way, show how he can become a model for us to follow Jesus in this time. So first, Elijah is forced into isolation. You see, Elijah was a faithful prophet of Israel. He spoke out against idol worship in Israel. He exhorted people to turn away from false gods. And unfortunately, this brought about the ire of Queen Jezebel. And Jezebel basically puts a death sentence on his head. She basically says, I am not going to stop until I hunt you down and kill you. So Elijah has to flee into the wilderness. He's forced into isolation in the desert. And we all are like Elijah here. We have been forced into isolation from something that is out of our control. The coronavirus is like Jezebel. It is out for our lives, and it's out for the lives of our loved ones. And so we've been forced to flee into isolation. I know for many of us, the hardest part about this is a feeling of lack of control. We feel like all of these events that have happened in our society are out of our control, and they are forcing us to do things that we don't want to do. Now, we're going to get to some of the ways in which we can respond in this time, but I want to first acknowledge the first thing that Elijah does, and that is he pours out his anguish to God. He cries out, "Is it enough, Lord?" You see, Elijah's frustrated, he's lonely, he's scared, he's anxious, and he unburdens himself before God. So before we get into things that we can do, I just want to let you all know that it's okay to cry out to God in this time. Whether you're frustrated, lonely, anxious, some of us are very alone right now. Some of us are spending way too much time with our kids, and we wish we were alone right now. We're all, to varying extents, frustrated, lonely, anxious. And I want to give you permission to be honest and pour out your heart before God. Take it all to Jesus and lay it at his feet. Whether you think your worries are really trivial, whether you're comparing your hardship to other people, God hears all of our hardships, no matter how small, no matter how great. And what happens is that when we pour out our hearts, God is going to hear us. But furthermore, he's going to ask us to respond by following him. And this brings me to my second point. Even though Elijah is in isolation, he chooses solitude with God. Elijah cries out to God, "Is it enough, Lord?" And he's exhausted by his anguish. Just as many of us can feel exhausted, even if we haven't done anything physical, just from our stress and burdens, he's exhausted. But God hears Elijah, and he asks him to get up, to eat, and to journey with him to Mount Horeb. Now, this is interesting when you think about it. God does not awaken Elijah with news that Jezebel is no longer looking to kill him. God doesn't wake Elijah up and suddenly Elijah's 10 best friends are all waiting there to be in his presence. God calls him to wake up, but he doesn't take away his isolation. Instead, he actually says, you need to spend more time in isolation. You need to journey 40 days to Mount Horeb. And Elijah agrees to follow. You see, I think this is key to this passage. You see, God is calling you out of isolation and out of loneliness. But he's not doing that by instantly taking away all of our problems or instantly putting community right in our midst. He's asking us to choose solitude, which means that we choose to enter into this isolation with God, to enter into his presence. This is the difference between isolation and loneliness on one hand and solitude on the other. You know, isolation is something that we're forced into, just like Elijah. Loneliness is something that happens to us, right? We're a victim of circumstances. Things seem out of our control. But solitude is a choice. It's a choice to be alone with God. And it's actually, when we remember to choose this, we are not actually alone. It's this acknowledgement that in our isolation, God can be fully present to us. And so when we choose to enter into solitude, we turn over all of our thoughts towards God. We choose to enter into quiet and be with God. This is an extraordinary gift that God gives all of us, for those of us who believe in Jesus Christ. You see, when we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is poured out in our hearts, and this draws us to the Father. And this then is something we can choose to do at any moment, choose to acknowledge the Holy Spirit present in us, and through that, the ability to commune with the God of the universe. And the way we do this is very simple. We have to choose to do it. God has given us these amazing things called wills, right? The ability to choose. And they are quite powerful. You know, take a simple example, and maybe many of you have done this. Try to do today as many push-ups as you can. So maybe, you know, some of you are able to do, let's say, 15 push-ups right now. Now, the next day, just tell yourself you are going to do 20 push-ups or 25 push-ups. And the extraordinary thing is that you'll be able to do that. That this incredible thing is that by simply asking to do something intentionally has this power for us to do something that is much more than what we perceive to be our natural limits. And this is exactly what's going on for us today. We can choose intentionally to take this time that God has given us and to decide to enter into solitude with the God of the universe. This is the choice that we're faced with right now. And our decision is going to dictate whether or not we thrive during this time of isolation. So the question is, do you choose to enter into solitude with God? Are you going to be a victim of circumstance, floating from website to website, movie to movie, waiting anxiously for this virus to pass? Or are you going to decide to get down on your hands and knees and draw close to God in your isolation? Now, here's what you're going to find when you choose to enter into solitude with God. You're going to find that it's actually going to be a fight. You're going to have to fight many distractions and many obstacles. But if you persevere, something incredible is going to happen. You are going to hear God's still and quiet voice. And this brings me to my last point. Elijah hears God's quiet voice. You see, Elijah journeys with God all the way to a cave at Mount Horeb. You see, the mountain is the place in the Old Testament where people encounter God. But before Elijah can hear God's voice, he has to deal with all of these things that are in the way. And there are, I want to suggest there are three things in particular that are in his way. And I think these are the three things that we have to deal with, we have to struggle with, if we want to hear God's voice. Now, I'm going to use an acronym for these obstacles. These obstacles are MAD obstacles. M-A-D. These are the three obstacles we have to deal with. M, the first obstacle we're going to have to deal with, is memories. Elijah says twice to God, he says, God, look at what I've done. I've been zealous for the house of Israel. I've protected the prophets. You see, what's going on here is Elijah is just remembering the good old days before Jezebel was out on the hunt for him. And all he can think about is wishing to go back to the way things were. You see, oddly enough, these memories can actually prevent us from hearing from God. You know, if you look at the story of monks, for instance, monks are really kind of the experts on solitude. Actually, they say one of the first things you have to deal with, if you want to hear from God, is you have to deal with all these memories you have. And of course, memories are not bad things. But if we fixate on memories of the past, they can make us sad. Because all we tend to think about are the way things used to be, instead of what God is calling us to do right now. So it's easy for us right now. We can look to the past, we can wish that things can go back to the way they were a month ago or 2 months ago. Maybe we dwell on the way these scenarios could have played out differently in history. You know, a lot of us, we just long for a return to normal. Normal work, normal interactions with friends. But if we fixate on these memories, it's only going to lead to sadness. So that's the first obstacle, memories. The next obstacle, A, is anticipations. You see, if one obstacle that we have to deal with, if we want to hear from God, is fixating on the past, another obstacle is trying to anticipate the future. Notice in Elijah's complaints towards God, they're both a past and future element to each of them. He says, I wish we could go back to these things the way they are, and God, I'm still worried because I think Jezebel is going to catch up with me and she's going to kill me. You see, he's fixated on guessing how the future is going to unfold. My guess is this is a struggle for all of you, right? Aren't we harvesting news stories every day, every hour? And all these stories have all these different predictions, right? Predictions about how long the quarantine's going to last, how many people are going to die, how many people are going to be infected. And let's face it, right? We all have our theories, right? This has been a topic of conversation with a lot of my friends. You know, when is the quarantine going to end? How is this going to play out in history? And I bet if I ask each and every one of you today, I bet I'd get a theory from you. And I bet that, you know, there's about 40 or 50 of us on here, I bet I could get 40 or 50 different theories about how these things are going to play out. Because the reality is, even the experts don't know exactly what's going to happen. We have to trust people above us, leaders who have to make hard decisions, and we have to let go of the ability to see into the future. Because if all we're doing is trying to predict the future, we're going to be continually anxious and worried. Because ultimately, these things are not in our control. So the first obstacle are memories of the past. The second one are anticipations of the future. The third is D, distractions. God calls Elijah to go to Mount Horeb, the place of worship, and wait to hear his voice. But first, before he can hear his voice, there's wind and an earthquake and fire. These are huge, incredible events. But the Bible says that God is not in these things. He's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in fire. And it's only after these things pass that Elijah is able to step out into the silence and hear the voice of the Lord. You see, when God calls us into solitude, he calls us into silence. But before we can enter into this silence with him, we've got to withstand the distractions all around us. We're all preoccupied with what's going on in the headlines around us. We're preoccupied in our isolation by memories, and we feel the urge always to indulge them. This might mean indulging in kind of fantasizing about what our life could look like, or it's as simple as indulging them by constantly checking our phone for the latest headline, the latest news. Or sometimes some of us, we're just tempted to indulge in the kind of mindless distractions that give us comfort, to fill up all of our time with things that leave us comfortably numb. You know, TVs, movies, and we just think if we fill up our time with all of these things, we can kind of get through. But here's the thing. These distractions are always going to feel to us initially more important. It's going to feel like it's more important to check the headlines. They're going to feel like an earthquake or a fire in our mind. But we have to hit the pause button on these things. We have to put them aside, and we have to quiet our hearts. And when we do, we will begin to hear the voice of God. You see, Elijah withstands the earthquakes, the fires, and he steps out and he hears God's voice. And God's voice comforts him, gives him peace, and prepares him to re-engage with the world. So God is saying, spend this time in solitude with me. And after some time, you're going to leave this isolation, and you're going to anoint kings, you're going to do battle with evil, and you're going to pronounce the name of the Lord. Here's what I do believe. I believe that if you withstand these obstacles, you will slowly, over time, begin to hear God's voice. The voices of distraction and anxiety will dissipate, and the voice of God will be heard in your heart. This is a word of comfort, since we know that for those of us who've turned to Jesus, who have accepted him as our Savior, who have committed our lives to following him as Lord, we know that God is not going to forsake us. So it becomes a word of comfort. But it's also a word that is preparing us to eventually enter back into the world. You see, all the great monks over Christian history, the goal was not just to enter into solitude, but the solitude was meant to prepare them to re-engage with the world. And so God can prepare us now in this time of isolation to go out again later, ready to bless others, to fight against evil and false prophets, and to declare salvation through the name of Jesus alone. So I want to challenge you today to follow Elijah. First, I'm going to suggest to you two very practical steps to help you enter into solitude with God during this time. The first thing I want to challenge you to, and I'm getting this actually a suggestion from the Petersons. I want to challenge you to turn off your phones at least 2 hours before you sleep and refrain from watching or reading any news of any kind. This will calm the earthquakes and fires that are distracting you. These earthquakes and fires that do not contain the voice of God. So clear out space in your heart. Shut off your phones. Spend those last 2 hours not engaging with all of the earthquakes around you. And then second is, I want to encourage you to pray every single night. If you're alone by yourself, as a household, pray together. I'm going to attach on the chat stream here pretty soon. A compline service, this is in the Anglican tradition, the prayer service that you can do before you go to sleep every night. It's a time where you get to read scripture, to confess sins, but there's a space in the middle to do two things. One is to read scripture, And this is always important because this is we know is God's voice, is the voice of Scripture. In case we're ever confused as to whether we're hearing God's voice or not, Scripture is always the way to tell. And then there's a moment in the middle there to pray. Take 5 or 10 minutes in absolute silence. Quiet all the distractions in your heart and enter into solitude with Him there. I believe that God is calling each of us out of isolation and into solitude with God during this time. I believe He's calling us not to dwell on the past, not to try to predict the future, but to choose to enter into solitude. I believe He can calm the distractions in your lives, that He will speak to you in silence, and that we as a church will one day soon leave this isolation, prepared to glorify Him in the world, in our church, and in our community. Thanks be to God.